What a blessing to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness here tonight. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, our God, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Together us and take us home to be with him, that where he is, there we shall be, and we will never have to part again. Never again. Praise God forevermore that we can get together here and sing and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness tonight. And we are thanking you for your prayers on our behalf. We praise God for that tonight. And we just are looking to the Lord Jesus for the word of God tonight, and to let the word of God come into each of our hearts, that we might be able to be more what he wants us to be, and draw us closer to himself and to those on the list of all them in our lives. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Yes, it is. We have a lot of people. And tonight, we'd like to speak on the subject of personal devotional life. Personal devotional life. And I know you probably all have your personal devotions. And that is very important. And that, as we sought the Lord for a message tonight, is what the Lord gave to us. So we'd like to talk about our personal devotional life that we have living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say personal, that's how I mean it. And it does definitely affect and involve other people. But the first thing we want to look at in our personal devotional life is our prayer life. And our prayer life is very important. And I'm standing here tonight because of prayer. That's why I'm here, and I want to thank the Lord for that, for the prayers of the saints that has been given in our behalf over the last number of years. In fact, all my life, I grew up going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. I couldn't remember a Wednesday evening ever missing. The only time we didn't go to church is, you had to really be sick. Wasn't just some little headache or something, or like I hear people saying so much today. Yeah, if we were throwing up or something, we'd stay home. But I thank the Lord for that history. And that history alone is not what saved me, but I'm thankful it put a background foundation under my life that I am thankful that I remember my grandparents, my parents, my siblings praying. And I remember going to prayer meeting, and before I was converted, I didn't really want to go to prayer meeting. But, that's just how it was. So that's what we did. And I thank the Lord for prayer meeting. And that's how, even after I was a church member and baptized and took communion, I still was not right with God for a while, for almost 4 years. From when I became a church member, did I really get converted and the Lord filled me with the Spirit of the living God and quickened me and set me free from my sin and the darkness that I was in. And one of that was because every Wednesday night was a prayer meeting. And then we had moved to Lancaster County, or to Lebanon County during that time. And we'd come to Lancaster County down there on 501 just south of Brickerville on what they call Lexington Hill. And that white block building in there on the left is still standing today. And that was called in those days the Glory Garage. It was never an established congregational church, but they would have a Tuesday night prayer meeting there every Tuesday night, and my parents would go there, and that's where they prayed for me. And I'm thankful for that. And they also had a Sunday evening service. And it was just sort of a blend of some people that really come from various congregations of people, none particular group of people. And that night there, one Sunday night, sitting in that church building, the Glory Garage, Brother Lloyd May, the old brother that lived, he owned that garage. He was a builder there in this area for many years. And he preached a message on hellfire that night, and that was such a powerful message, I couldn't handle it. I managed to get out of that. I managed to get out of that building, and I was dating my wife Kathy at the time, and her and I drove in my old 57 Chevy, what we had in them days. In them days, them things weren't worth much at all. I think I sold the thing for $300 and some. But anyhow, I drove to her place, and I told her, I said, "Go up and get your dad out of bed. I'm not right. I didn't get saved." And he come down. He got dressed and come down. And there he prayed for me in the living room. And then I got my old 57 Chevy and drove to Shaperstown and went in the house and got my dad out of bed, and he prayed for me. Yes, I said, I'm not saved. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know when I die, and if I die, I'm ready to go to heaven. And that went for 3 days and three nights, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Praise God. This old sinner was converted and filled with the Spirit of the living God there in the little Mount Pleasant Church right up there on 322 on this side of Cameltown, right in front of Horning's Furniture. That little stone building still stands there yet today. That's where I was both converted, born again, and we also were married there. And we praise God for that. That's a little bit of our history. And we thank God this evening for the subject of prayer. How is my prayer life? That's very important. It's very important that we have a prayer life. When I was on our way down here, I got a text from Ohio. And that text said, we're praying for you tonight as you preach. And that's a daughter of mine, Julia Kaufman, lives in Middlefield, Ohio, married to Laban Kaufman, the minister there in their congregation. And then I got another text from the state of Idaho on our way here tonight. And that comes from my son, Jeremy Ospaw, who lives in the state of Idaho. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's so important when you have children that you know praying for you. And I know I have children living right here in our area that are praying for me, too, besides them. And I'm thankful I have one of my daughters with me here tonight. That her name is Joanna, and my dear wife, and they are praying people. And I just thank the Lord for the prayers of the saints. And I know my congregation at home is praying for us here while we are here in these next several nights. You know, we didn't quite know we should come here because of our health situation, but I thank the Lord that the Lord, he got this cough of mine toned down some. It was pretty serious. Here until Sunday afternoon, I saw it starting to change, and praise the Lord. I also had a brother from New Mexico put his arms around me today. He was in my house, and I said, brother, would you pray for me today? I could preach tonight without coughing too much. And that brother, Luke Flory from New Mexico, he put his arms around me, and he had prayer. And brother Trent Eikenberry from Ohio was with him, and we had prayer, and I just thank God for prayer. Where would we be without prayer tonight? Where is your personal life in prayer, and where is mine? And I know, like I said, I'm preaching to praying people. But if you're like me, sometimes our prayer life can get a little bit short, maybe. Let's just look at some scriptures, okay, about our prayer life. I'd like to first look at Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Cornelius was a devout man that feared God with all his house and prayed to God always. Always. It doesn't say sometimes. It doesn't say he prayed to God most of the time. It says he prayed to God always. How's my prayer life? Do I pray to God always? And it says he prayed with all his house. I thought about that. Wonder where they had their prayer. This Cornelius man says he also was he lived at Damascus, and he says he was a devout man. This man, Cornelius. But he was a praying man, brothers and sisters. And, I guess we have some sisters here. Yes, we do. Praise the Lord. I know this is from a brother's thing they're having here, but we thank God for the sisters that are here this evening, too. And we thank God for sisters that can pray. And then over in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said these words, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Does your prayer life and my prayer life ever faint at times? Now, what does faint mean? Faint means to become unconscious too. And I think we can get into a repetitious type phrase of words to just... But our spirit's not there. If you're like me, and I tell you, I know I'm older than many of you, but probably not the oldest of you. My mind, when I'm praying, sometimes wants to go on other things. Does yours ever want to do that? Mine does. It wants to go in another direction. Maybe it's a noise I hear, so I wonder what that was. I'll look out the window or something. Pray. Now, I don't know how you pray and where you pray. I like to pray in my basement. I like to go down there, and I have what I call a prayer walk. I walk when I pray. And I walk around that basement down there. And I was down there this morning. I overslept this morning. I was down there later than normal. It's usually too dark outside to see outside, but I could see this morning without using any lights. But that's where I have my prayer walk every morning. And I need that time. And I need to separate myself. And I have a list that I have memorized, or I keep saying it every day. I shouldn't say I memorized it, but I have a list of people I pray for. I have a list of many that are not saved. I have a list for my children and grandchildren, all by name. And we have 29 grandchildren, and now we have 11 great-grandchildren. And we say every one of them every day by name. I say all the names of every family in our congregation and the names of every one of them children by name. And I stand for improvement. If you think the way I pray could use some improvement, I am open to you, brother, about that. And I'm just telling you how, and I think we need to do that sometimes. We need to get personal how we do or don't do things or should do things and how the scripture teaches us and how Christ. But Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we have to pray. Now there's sometimes in my illnesses I can't get up from my chair. So I pray in my chair up there in the living room. And I took it through that a little bit early just last week for some issues I was going through there. I thought maybe I better not go down there, and there again, I'm not sure it's always doubts or it's obeying the flesh or obeying the spirit. I told my wife, I was in a battle this week. I said, my flesh wants to call them and tell them I think I'm not good enough to preach down there. Maybe they could get someone else. And I thank you, Brother Mark, for calling me and checking with us and having prayer there last evening. But the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, Jesus said. And we need to allow that battle. We need to not allow that battle, but we need to victoriously stand that battle that the flesh and the spirit bring upon us. Yes, it says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, and we thank God for that. Yes. Prayer is fellowship and communion with God in a personal relationship with our Creator. That's what prayer is. It's a personal relationship and communion with God. I like to go into the Bible when I study a subject and find out, where's it first mentioned? What's it say? And I wonder if I would ask you, where would you say? I started in Genesis 1, I couldn't find it. I started in Genesis 2, I couldn't find it. I went to Genesis chapter 4, and you'll find it in verse 26. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 4:26, you'll find that there. And we thank God that prayer is mentioned throughout Scripture from then right on, right up to the end of the Scripture. And we thank God for all the inspired word of truth the Bible has for you and I on this subject of prayer in our personal devotional life. Yes. Jesus says in 10:4, my sheep know my voice, but a stranger they will not follow. Prayer is a relationship with God, like it is with our children. You know how that is. When your children call you, you'll say some things to them you wouldn't say to anybody, would you? No, because they're your children. And that's how it is with our God. Our God is our Creator, and He made us an immortal soul that'll never die. And He longs to be in a relationship that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, but was restored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's what it is. Yes, my sheep know my voice. I like sheep. I don't have any anymore. I don't have any animals. My son John has, I don't know how many sheep, hundreds of them. Anyhow, a lot of them are lambing right now. But, you know, I had some sheep when I lived over there on Distillery Road near Schaeferstown. and or near Frystown. It would be on the other side of Mount Etna. And I had some sheep. No, I'm sorry. It was Schaeferstown. It was in Distillery Road, right near the distillery over there. Schaeferstown, we owned a little 13-acre farm. And I had about 25 head of sheep. We did farm a little bit, but most of it was a real steep, hilly area. Wasn't too good to farm. So we fenced it and put sheep in there. And I had about 25 of them. And I remember one time on a Sunday evening getting some company at our house. And I don't remember who it was. It might be someone sitting in here. Now, you might remember better than I do. But anyhow, I remember it was around sheep feeding time in the evening. They came for supper. And I said, I'm going down to the barn to feed my sheep. If you want to go along, you can follow or come with me. Yeah, they thought they'd like to do that. I said, okay. So we go down there and go down this way and then go in and go in the barn. And there wasn't a lot of pasture right now, so that's one reason why we were doing some feeding. It was in the summer month, and the sheep were out on the, they knew about what time I feed sheep, so they start coming near the barn, but they weren't real close to the barn. I had a little block door there in the block wall, about 32 inches wide, maybe a little higher than that, where they would come in and out. And they were all out there, all them 25 sheep. Now, I says, when I come down here to feed them, this is how I do it. I said, I say to them, come, sheepy, come. I says, why don't you try tonight? I says, say it right like that. Say, come, sheepy, come. You know what happened? That man said that. Every one of them heads went up. But I want to tell you, not one sheep moved a muscle. They just stood almost, looked like statues. Now I said, watch this. Then I said, come, sheepy, come. And in they all come into the barn. My sheep know my voice, but a stranger they will not follow. And beloved brethren, let's know the voice of our God when he speaks to us through his word, through faithful brothers and sisters, through many experiences in life that we have, our family life and our church life and many of those about us. But we need to know our shepherd's voice. That's very important. That's the same is true with men, too. Sometimes I'll get a phone call, and my hearing's not like yours is, but oftentimes I'll have to say, excuse me, who am I speaking to? And one lady called me today, like they often do, trying to get me to do one of them jiggers they have, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying. Can you say it louder? And a little slower. And she said it again the same way. And I said, can you please say it a little slower? And I thought I had a real lady on the phone, but I didn't. I had one of them calls there that I get there. They're trying to get you into something like that, you know. And this is what I tell them people, at least I try to sometimes. I tell them, did you ever receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, as the Bible says, if you repent of your sins and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you die, you'll go to heaven. You won't go to hell. And then you usually can hear them hanging up. Not always. Every now and then, I had one lady not too long ago did answer me, and but she wouldn't take anything from that. She would not answer that question. She just said, well, right back. Well, that's not what I'm calling about. I'm calling about that, and I don't remember what I did tell that lady to do anymore. But those are opportunities that we have sometimes. Those are strangers. You know, that we don't know. We don't know who they are. And I tried to tell them, take my phone off the, we still have that home phone because of our calls to Jamaica and some other places that we still can't get through on our other lines without paying a lot of money. So we do that yet. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger, who is a stranger? A stranger is somebody they don't know when he calls to say, come, to come. A stranger, somebody doesn't know, go over this way, go that way, come here. Don't do this, and don't do that. And you better do this, because it's going to rain tomorrow, and you won't be able to come out here, and more and more and more. But the voice of the shepherd that they know, they follow him. Let's follow the Lord Jesus in our prayer life. Prayer is worship, praise, honor, and thanksgiving to our God, our Creator. That's what prayer is. Our personal prayer life. It's honor, it's praise, It's glory, it's thanksgiving, and it's honoring him. And let's always remember to thank the Lord for everything we have. That's so important, to pray that we have something to thank our God for. And even if it doesn't always work the way we think it should. Yeah, like getting here a little late this evening didn't quite work the way we thought it was going to work. But anyhow, we thank our God. Maybe he had a purpose in that. I'm not sure what he had there. But anyhow, we thank our God. Paul says, one place upon every remembrance of you, he thanks his Lord. So prayer needs to be that. My prayer to God needs to be worshiping my God, my Creator, his Son Jesus, who shed his blood, who rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and he now makes intercession for us. Yes, he does. As we come to God in prayer, and he will come again and receive us to himself. That's what prayer is. It's worship to him, the true and the living God. You know, all man, I believe, was created in an immortal soul to worship something. Yes, they were. Now, not all people probably would admit that, but they were created to worship something. So let's worship God, our Creator, for all he is and does through Christ Jesus, our risen Lord, for us. We just praise and thank him. Jesus says in Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now that's a strong, positive statement of scripture by Christ himself. Matthew 21:22. All things. It doesn't say and some things or most things. It says and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. What a promise, brothers and sisters. I need your help and admonition on how to do that by faith. All things. But faith, I believe, that word believing there is extremely important in that verse. Believing. When we ask in prayer, believing. Not unbelieving, not doubt, not questionable. Not wondering if it's so or if it's not so. May God bless you as you pray that he would increase our faith in the living God and in his precious holy word. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Who can say that verse for me? Thank you. Pray without ceasing. That means you don't stop praying. That means when you get tired of praying, you quit. That means when you forget the opportunity to pray for, then you just can't pray anymore. But it says pray without stopping. Don't ever do it. And I believe that could mean a couple things. I believe, number one, that could mean pray every day. Don't go through a day without praying. Even if you're sick. And I tell you, many times I was laying in hospital beds and couldn't move and couldn't go nowhere. And yet, we can pray. Praise the Lord, we can still do that. We can lay there and pray. And I believe it also means that we should be in the mind of prayer throughout the day. Sometimes maybe we have our nice prayer we pray in the morning, or maybe yours is more in the evening. I like to pray both. But anyhow, when we're done praying, we just sort of forget all about prayer. No. Talk with God. Speak with God. It's worship. It's praise. It's thanksgiving to the one true and the living God, our Creator. And you know what it'll help you do? It'll help you from your mind maybe going astray into other secular things that aren't necessary or important for you to be thinking about. If you pray, yes, pray. When you see somebody, pray for them. That's important. After you talk to somebody, I pray for them people after I talk to them. Another place that I like to talk to somebody that's a stranger that I don't often talk to is when I'm pumping gas. Okay? I pull into one pump. He pulls into the other pump. He's on this side of the pump. He's getting his gas. I'm on this side of the pump. I'm getting my gas. And there we stand. 3 feet from each other. What an opportunity. For one thing, you know, he can't get it, run away from you. I'm not saying maybe sometimes in cold weather I jump in my vehicle too to it gets full, but most of the times that's a beautiful place. And I don't always know how to ask people or how to start with people. I just don't always know quite how to ask people. fact, my wife said I got maybe a little bit too hard on a was it a doctor? What was that man the other day? He asked us a question. No, it wasn't a doctor. It was a place my wife had to get a new cell phone. And it's in Lebanon called Cricket. And we went in there, and that man said to us, and we were in there, he said, "Are you Mennonites?" And I said, "No." I said, "We're brethren." And I could tell he was from another country. He really wasn't American. He was another country. This was just last Monday, I think it was. And I seen him looking, and I knew he didn't understand what I was saying. He didn't know the difference between Mennonite and brother. I says, to make it short, this is the difference. When we baptize, we immerse in water, and when the Mennonites baptize, they pour, for the most part. And I said, there is, but I says, that's some of the basic difference between the two. Well, now I saw him get a worse look on it or a question on his face. And then I asked him a question. And I didn't think this through or know what to say. I said, "How were you baptized?" And I want to tell you, he was ready for me. You know what that man said? "I'm a Hindu. I'm not a Christian." I mean, he told me strong. And he was ready to tell me that. He said, "I'm a Hindu, and I'm not a Christian." And he knew what he wanted to tell me about that. And he listened to me, or I listened to him, go through that a while, and then I told him, "Well," I says, "I want you to seek the Lord Jesus." I don't remember what I told him, but my wife thought maybe I got a little hard. I said, "You seek the Lord. The Bible says if you repent of your sins, you'll receive forgiveness of your sins and be saved and redeemed through Jesus Christ." But he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, not as a Hindu. That's how it was. So I prayed for him, that man there at the place there. Jude 20 says, "Pray without." No. I'm sorry, that Jude 20 is, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost." That's Jude 20. Building up yourselves, pray, which means when we stop praying, when we fail to pray, when we do not pray as we ought, we don't build up, we lose that, we go down. That's what it means there. But building up yourselves. And that means taking supplies. That's what building was. I built new houses for 43 years, so I know what that's all about. But, you know, you take these supplies and you lay them together and you frame them and you fit them and you build a structure. Yes, you do. And that says we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise God forevermore in our personal devotional life. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And that word supplication is a word we don't use much, but it is used a good bit in the New Testament, and it simply means a prayer request. That's what the word prayer, a supplication means. It's mentioned twice in that verse there. But it says there, praying in the Spirit with all prayer. Not most prayer again or some prayer. These words are very firm to us about the importance and necessity of living our personal devotional life in a life of prayer. And God bless you all for doing that and continue to stick to it, brothers and sisters. Yes, stick to it. Amen. Do that. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father that seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." And he also says there in that there about how is it, ask, and you shall receive, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened. It's the three things he gives there. That's prayer life in the closet. Yes, we need to do that sometimes too. I think there's times maybe we need to just shut everything out and get in there and pray. It'll be good for us to get into the secret closet of prayer and there pray to our blessed Jesus in that secret closet with the door shut. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, there's another word coming in here, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Every one of us should thank God and pray and have supplication and have intercession. That means we, in behalf of something or someone else, all men, we should pray that way and not neglect it. Yes, that's very, very important. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Thank God for that. The word effect means that man's prayers affect what he's praying for. There's a change made. There's a happening made. There's something taking place. Just like it was in my life when I knew those old brethren were praying for me. I tell you, I could live with that so long, and I couldn't take it any longer. I was done with it, and I just thank the Lord for that. When he saved and redeemed me up there that night along 420 or 322 there at Campbelltown on a Wednesday night, the Lord came into my heart and soul when we were singing a little chorus, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I tell you, that's when the Holy Ghost came into my life and filled me. And praise God, my father was a minister there, and he was a strong preacher, my father was. And you know what he said that night when he saw me get saved? He said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to come back tomorrow night and have another meeting." And that was in July of 66. July of 1966. And we came back Thursday night, and you know what? Some more people responded. And you know what? He said, let's come back Friday night. And this was not a scheduled set of revivals or anything like that. In the beginning of the year, it was on our church calendar. We all knew that this was an unexpected, unplanned revival. And that revival went for 4.5 weeks every night. And 47 people were saved during those revivals. And most of them people were church member people. And one of them was a preacher in that church that never made a confession that he had done before he married and before he ever got into the church and before he was ever put in as a minister. And I tell you, that was a rough situation for that preacher. And I tell you, he did not want to accept that. He resisted that thing hard, but finally he gave in. He came up to that altar and he prayed, and God gave that brother victory. Yes. He's going on to glory now. And that is right beside the Horning's Furniture Store. And Mr. and Mrs. Horning both come over to that church and got saved during them revivals. And their salesman, and they were some sort of Mennonite people, but their salesman was non-Mennonite, and he got saved. Yes, Glenn Landvater was his name. That man got saved at those meetings. In those days, in that little church, we did not have a nursery. We didn't have a building like this. It's just a little stone church there. And one of my sisters was sitting out in the van in the dark at night nursing her baby. And she watched this thing happen. She watched Mrs. Horning come walking over by their warehouse, which comes right over by the parking lot, come over to the church during a service one night. We were singing in there, and she tried to go up the steps. And she did, but she went back down again. And she said she didn't know she was sitting in there watching her because it was dark. And she didn't make it. Her name was Evelyn Horning. So she tried it again. She backed up to the block wall, and then she came over to the church steps again. There was about, five or six steps, I'd say, up to the where you make a turn in and go in the door. So I'm not sure if it was the second or third time she finally made it in the door, and that woman went to the altar and got saved. Praise the Lord. And they are the people that financially supported my parents in Jamaica the first 4 years he lived there. They paid everything, all his expenses. That's what they did when they got saved there. They stayed in their Mennonite church, but it made a definite impression on them. And we thank God for that this evening. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fervent prayer means it's a hot prayer. That's just James 5:16. It's effectual because it affects those he's praying. And it's fervent. Of a righteous man availeth much. Not just a little bit every now and then. No, but it availeth much. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. May God bless you, brethren, like he did Ephesus. Now, that man's prayer life was not just a little whispering. It says it was a fervent labor. It was a laborious hot. That's what the word fervent means. It means extremely hot from fire, from above. Not the kind of fire we know of from flames here, but he was laboring fervently in prayer. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I want to bring that in. I know there's not a lot of sisters here, but I want to thank you, dear sisters, for wearing a prayer veil. Praise the Lord. This is 1 Corinthians 11:10. It talks about that. And not too long ago, a young man was telling me about his wife taking her covering off. I says, don't you want that verse to apply? Don't you want the angels of heaven to be upon your head and your wife? He didn't know what to tell me. He didn't know how to answer that one. He said, I don't know. I never thought about that one. Yeah. Bless you, dear sisters. As they have that power in your head because of the angels. That's even something that I don't think it says about the brethren. No, it doesn't. Praise God forevermore. 1 Peter 3:7 says, now ye husbands, talking about the wives, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, as unto the weaker vessel. That word dwelling with them, maybe we'll get into that another message here. It means understanding how God made a woman different than us men. Some men don't seem to understand that. But that's what that word knowledge there is implying, so that we know how to live with them. But dwell with them according to knowledge as under the weaker vessel, and as heirs together of the grace of life. But here's the part I want to bring in, that your prayers be not hindered, which means frustrated or cut off. That word hindered, if you look at the Greek definition of it up there, that your prayers be not hindered. I wonder if sometimes my prayers aren't the way they are because I don't relate to my wife the way and the knowledge that God created me as a man to relate to her. It is beautiful. We've been married 54 years, and I thank the Lord for my wife. I thanked her today. I said, you know, I had to think today. There's a lot of widowers like me that don't have a wife and don't have a daughter, a 40-year-old daughter living with them like I do. And all them two do for me, I tell you, their prices are far above rubies. And I just thank the Lord for my dear wife. We've been married 54 years, and I don't know a thing about fighting and arguing and sitting at the table and not willing to talk to each other, laying in the bed back to back or traveling in the vehicle and not talking. I don't know anything about that kind of life. I just praise God for our married life. It's been heaven on earth. And it's 54 years now, going on 55 this year, Lord willing. And that, no wonder it says her price is far above rubies. You can't find it in any other way. Thank God for that. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, part number two, person's prayers, are Bible reading, studying, and application of Scripture. Is very important to us as we live our personal life for Jesus Christ. And there again, we might get into more of this and some other messages coming up here. But I just like to impact the importance of God's holy word into our personal lives. How much of God's word do you read every day? How much do I read? How much more should I read? How much of the Bible do I read in comparison to everything else I read in a day's time? I need to be reminded of that. I was reminded of that today. I had something came to me, I was going to take it and read it. But I didn't read it. The Lord said to me, you just let that thing lay. You just think through tonight's message. Well, I said, I think I have that already. But I thank God I went over it again in detail. And I barely got done. It was time to come again. And I underlined some more words here that I wanted to, I felt inspired to speak on as we do that. So we need to read God's word every day. I read three chapters a day. That's just my one way as a minimum. I'll say it that way. Of course, when I'm preparing for messages, it's much, much more than that. But I read three chapters a day. I read a book of Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastics, and Song of Solomon. When I get to the end of Song of Solomon, I start back at Psalms. And then I read a book in the Old Testament. And right now, I'm in the book of Exodus right now. And then I always read a book in the New Testament every night or every morning. Before breakfast, I make sure I get those three chapters read. And that's how I do it. And I stand for correction and instruction. But it's good to know God's word. It's very, very good. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 8, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Praise God, the word of God is settled in heaven. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Amen. It's going to stand. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to abide forever and forever. And we're so thankful that we have God's word. Psalms 119, verse 30 says, "The entrance of God's word giveth light." That's very important. It brings light into our darkened lives. It brings light onto things that we're in the dark about and don't understand. Pray and ask God as you read his word. And I always like to look the words up, especially if I get to a word that we don't often use maybe in our American English language, just like the word supplication. I'm not saying we never use that word, but we don't use it as often as in the scriptures. And it's very important to look those words up. And you look it up in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and in the Greek, in the New Testament. And I'm not saying those commentaries are all 100% accurate, but it does usually gives you the original word, what it is, and then how to, or what that means. And it gives you other scriptures and other definitions there as well to put with that. So I'm thankful we have that. Psalms 105. Of Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Does it get a little dark sometimes to know where you're going? We praise God for that. It says it is a lamp to his feet, not a lamp to his path, and a light to his feet, but it's a lamp to his feet and a light unto his path. That means both the things right in front of you are lit up, but the light shines the pathway ahead of us. We can look ahead on the word of God and gives us instruction, gives us light, gives us evidence what we're going to be walking into or to. It's a blessing in our spiritual lives and to love that word of God and hide it in our hearts. Yes, it's very important. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's Psalms 119, verse 11. And I have here, how do we hide God's word in our heart? I thought about that on Friday when I was preparing for this message. I thought some about, what does that word hide mean? In my heart. And I suppose I came up with the thinking that it means to memorize it. That's how I keep it in my heart. I have to memorize it. I have to keep reading it. And I think to memorize it means to hear it. That's very important. To read it and to tell it and to live it. That hides God's word in our heart. That makes it lodge there. My heart is a lodging place for the precious word of God. And that's very important. When people meet you, do they know you're a Christian? Do they know you know the word of God? Or do they say, "Well, yeah, he's just a this or he's a that"? We've got a lot of them kind of people, don't we? But he never talks about the Lord, never talks about the scripture. And I'm just so thankful for my wife's father. He was an orphan. He grew up in the Bethany Children's Home there in Wollensdorf from 6 to 16. Then he was put out on a farm to work down on the other side of Reading, and them people were not plain people, but they talked nothing but Dutch on their dairy farm. And that's where he milked 33 cows by hand every morning and every evening. and in there with them, and that's where he learned the Pennsylvania Dutch, working on that dairy farm. Yes, he did. But I want to tell you about my father-in-law. He loved the Lord. And if you ever got to meet him one time or more, which I know many of you older brother and probably remember, how long is he going now, Kathy? 30 years? More, maybe. Yeah, that he's going now. But he loved the scriptures. He loved the Lord. And I knew you didn't have to meet him and hear one or two sentences or words, and you were hearing the Word of God. The Word of God was just born in his, and when he was a little like me in one way, he could only see out of one eye too. But now he can see out of both eyes, and someday we'll be joined together, and I'll see him there too. We just praise God that the Word of God can be in our hearts, and we can hide it in our hearts, and not just hide it to not tell anybody of it, but hide it so it's there to have to tell other people. Romans 10:17 says, So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or by reading the word and by hearing the word. That builds faith. If you're like me this evening here, you probably wish you had a little more faith. I need more faith at times. I have to ask God to help me with more faith. And hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, using the word of God, brings hearing by faith. It brings faith by hearing, I mean. It increases our faith, and we praise God for that. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That's very, very important, that ye may grow thereby. That's how we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with the sincere milk of the word, but we must first be newborn babes. We must be born of the Spirit that inspired the Word of God so that we can then be able to read the Word of God in an inspired way. Over in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says this, And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, he shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Praise the Lord. I love to preach the word yet. You know, I'm still, even with my health situation being it is, I'm still in line in our three ministers in our congregation, take my every third time to preach the Word of God. And sometimes it doesn't go too good with my memory, and it doesn't go too good with my physical situations, and our congregation is very patient with me. And I have to write a lot more things down. I used to know the Scriptures much, much better than I did now. I don't want to tell you this most in a bracket, but I remember going to the Marystown Mennonite School, and that whole school, all grades were brought together by Sister Marjorie Shank, was the teacher, and we all went around and said a memory verse. Now, she said, there's one thing you don't have to say. You don't have to say the text where it's at, but you got to say the verse complete. And that whole school went around, and I was number 3 from the top. Of all them people, I don't know how many it was in that school there. In them days, it wasn't as many as now, a couple hundred now probably, or several hundred. But anyhow, my memory was good. I could remember in those days, and I thank God for that. I think God used that, and it was a tremendous inspiration when I would preach. But I have to tell you now that with scar tissue on the left side of my brain, the surgeon up at Hershey said, it's going to really affect your memory, and it does. And sometimes I forget many, many different things. Like, I forgot how to get here tonight, too. I thought, sure, I would never forget that. But there's just so many things. So I make me little lists up. If I'm going out from the house to my shop, I'll make a list, okay? Because a lot of times I get out there, and then I come back in the house. Oh, that's right, I wanted to get that when I was there. And that's right, I want. So I'll make a list up and go out to my shop. And when I get out there, I'll lay that list somewhere and go look for the first thing. And then I forget where I laid my list. Then I got to go look around for the list, which the Lord helps me find it. Yes, he does. But just thank God for your memory and use it. Hide it in your heart. Yes, that's very, very important. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the devotional life here in the Word of God, that word have I hid in my heart. Also, in James chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, that means humility, the engrafted word. That word engrafted means implanted word. Is God's word implanted into our heart? Yes. When we are born again, God's word is implanted into us. That's what the word engrafted means, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But for if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And we praise God for that, for those inspirational scriptures that he's giving to us. Jesus says in St. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those believing Jews, he says, if ye continue in my word, and I want to leave that with you tonight, dear brothers and sisters, if you continue in my word, Jesus is saying, then are ye my disciples. Which what that means is, I disqualify my discipleship if I do not continue in the word of God. I might say I'm one, I might claim to be one, but if I don't continue in the word of God, I am not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Knowing and doing the truth is freedom. It implants and develops biblical convictions in our lives. That's a tremendous way that we can receive Bible convictions. Now, I'd like to close this message with the third issue. First one is our prayer life. Second one is our study and reading of God's word. Our third one is the blessing of singing. The joy of singing. I just want to praise the Lord that when I walked in here, they're singing tonight. What a joy. Now, I know we have more people here, and we have an old church, and we don't have a high ceiling like this. We have a low ceiling, and I know the acoustics are a lot better. And bless you, dear brother, for leading the singing. But it was such a blessing, and I felt sorry that we didn't get to hear more of the song. But anyhow, I guess God had a reason for that anyhow. But the blessing of singing is such a joy to the believer's heart. Yes, it is. Psalms 81:1 says, sing aloud unto God. That's what it says. It doesn't say just murmur. Sing aloud. Praise God forevermore. When we can sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Now, that's something I can't do. Now, ever since I had my tumor here, I can only open my teeth. I think I got 9/16 of an inch is all I have between my top and bottom when I got it as wide as maybe a tee bit more right now. But for example, I can't take a banana and eat it. No, it just don't open that wide enough, and it's been that way for 7 years. But I know how to eat bananas. I learned how to eat them. You take some off the top and off the bottom, you make a point, and then you eat the point. And that's how it goes. And it's that way with a lot of my foods. I have a hard time eating a hamburger that has a top roll and a bottom roll. And I like a tomato slice on ours and some lettuce sometimes. But I have to work on that thing, you know, a little bit different than you all do. And I thank God it opens wide enough that I can still preach the word of God. Hallelujah. Yes, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We praise God forevermore. Ephesians 5:18-19 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirits of song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That melody is the sound of love of a musical instrument. If you look that up, that's what it'll tell you that is. But it's in your heart. That's where it's at, in your heart. Yes, it is. And I just praise God for that. Now, the three things there that I would understand that verse means there is speaking to yourselves in psalms means the book of Psalms in the old church history was their songbook. They sang them. That's what they was. Yes, and I'm not sure up until when it became more biblical than a hymn, but there is some dates that I had, but I don't have them on top of my mind right now. But anyhow, they sang that. That's what the book of Psalms is. Hymns is when we sing something to God. For example, what is a hymn? Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. That's a hymn. That's something we sing to God, our Creator. I'm trying to think of another hymn. My Jesus, I love thee. That's one of my favorite hymns. I know thou art mine. That's a hymn to us and God, our Creator. That's what that is. Then spiritual songs is songs we sing in relation to each other. If I got that right, and I stand for correction. That means if we sing rescue the perishing, care for the dying, that's speaking to each other. That is a spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I got to thinking about this, and today it hit me, I think. My son John, he's our oldest son, and we're thankful for his faithfulness to God. And when he was 13 years old, I had him disking on a John Deere putt-putt tractor. That's the old two-cylinder John Deere's. And we were up at the farm, and he was all the way down across the valley of the creek and up and on the first field, way over there. And we could hear him out singing the noise of that tractor at 13 years of age. That was such a blessing. And he still sings the songs of God, and we're so thankful for his faithfulness. You know, singing is just such a great joy. Praise God forevermore. Singing, make the melody. Now, I got to think of something else. Today, this just hit me today. How many times do you read in the four Gospels where Jesus and his disciples sang? Someone tell me. You're right, one time. And it isn't the word sing. It isn't the word singing. It isn't the word sang. I looked them up in the Strong Concordance. Them there aren't in the four Gospels. None of them three words. The word that's in there is sung. And it says after he broke the bread and blessed it, then they sang a hymn. Or they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. That's the only place you'll find it in the four Gospels. That was a little bit a new one for me. But singing and sang in many other places in the scripture. And we're just so thankful that they had sung a hymn and went out. Psalms 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Whoo, that's a good one, isn't it? And then, you know, I think of this. What else do we have how people were positioned in the Bible when they sang, Old or New Testament? And I did some searching on that, not real thorough searching, and I might have missed some today. Do we have any place that says, and they sat and sang, like we do? I thank you for asking us to stand tonight to sing. I don't know. It could be in there. It normally doesn't say the position of the people, whether they stood or whether they sat. Or are they laid in their bed? We have that one. They sang aloud upon their bed. Praise God. So there's nothing wrong with that. You want to sing aloud upon your bed tonight? Praise the Lord forevermore. Yes, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud. Some years ago, it wasn't that many years ago, Kingdom Fellowship meetings up at the Roxbury Campground. I was there one evening, and some youth might have been there too. And remember this situation. And they came to me when they saw me there, and they said, now, I know you're not on the schedule to do anything here, but I'd like you to take 20 minutes tonight if you could. I said, well, I'll try. What do you want me to do? We said, I want you to lead us in two songs, and then if you want to have a talk, you can have a talk. So I told my wife. My wife said, you're going to stand in front of all of them. And they said there's between 700 and 800 people there that night. you're going to stand and sing and lead two songs to this many people? Well, I said, that's what the man asked me to do. I said, I can try. I asked God to help me. And I went to prayer. Did I ever? And two different brethren, faithful brethren, when they heard I was going to lead the singing, came to me and offered me their pitch pipe. I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't know how to use them. I wouldn't know which hole to blow in. And I don't have no problem with anybody. Our chorister at home in our congregation, he uses one in every song. You know, it's not that I'm against them, but I just never was. I guess I should have learned that. That's probably something I failed to learn, should have learned that. But I said, I don't know how to do that. She said, you're going to sing that many people up there? Yes, I am. By grace of God, I'm going to. So we get in there, and I get up, and I don't know what I said anymore. And some, you could have been there, and you could maybe even remember some of the details better than me. My memory don't remember everything, but I said, one of my favorite songs that I love is My Jesus, I Love Thee. That's one of my favorite songs. And the other thing I would like to encourage, and I do this, and I'm doing it more now again than I probably did already, and that is My Jesus, I Love Thee was written by a man by the name of William Featherstone in 1862 at the age of 16 in Montreal, Canada, at the time of his conversion. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. So I said, let's sing that song. Okay? Now let's sing it, I said. So we started singing. I led it. I didn't know quite how to do it, so I just go, this is how I usually start a song. And away I go. My Jesus, I love thee. And we did, and it was not real far off, if any. But we sang it. And it, you know, 700 people, there I was, standing up there, man, don't know how to lead singing. And so I stopped them at the end of verse one. Now I said, I that singing sounded pretty good, but I said, I tell you what, for this many people, I think this could sound better than this. Here's what I want you to do. For verse two, I want you all to stand to your feet. Children too. And I said, I want you young people and children to get a book and make sure you help sing verse two. Get involved. Many times children and sometimes some youth glad when they're done singing. But I said, I want you to sing. And I said, before we start, I want you to take a big, deep breath. And I said, I don't want you to scream or yell or holler. But I did not use the word shout, because that's used in my too many times in the scripture, to shout. And I said, I want you to sing. Brother, I tell you what, I didn't know if that roof was going to stay in that tabernacle. Phew, that was so, I'll never forget all my life how the Lord come down there and we sang that song. And I don't know if many of you or any of you was there. That wasn't that long ago. I think about 3 years ago, if I got it right, maybe four, I don't know. But anyhow, we made it through. And you know, it is just such a difference, isn't it? If we really want to do something different. Yes, God help us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come ye forth, presence of singing. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sit down. Yea, there we wept. When we remember Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Then they that carried us captive required of us a song, and of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we see the Lord's song in a strange land? And if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my hand forget her cunning, and my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. So may God bless us as we sing together, and may the Lord keep us steadfast and sure. We'll turn the service over to the brethren.